Grace and peace be unto the saints of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. The saddest thing I hear from folks who claim to be saved, or will be, is their reason for following Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I've heard it before. I don't want to go to hell. Oh, really? When I hear this, I can immediately discern a spirit of self-preservation and not the spirit of the love of Christ. Nope. We're hypocrites and false. I call this little study of ours today, Afraid of the Dark. We rightly believe that we are called out from death into life, 1 Peter 2:9. We are called out from a grave in which the ungodly of 1 Peter 4:18 reside. The rotting corpse of Lazarus is a perfect example of the lack of any ability to possess the will to be saved or even call out to God. These ungodly types of 1 Peter 4:18 cannot ever know the light, nor are they convicted of sin. They are part of the whole from which many are called and few are chosen. Are spiritually blinded corpses capable of understanding any of the truths of God or heaven or hell? Can the spiritually dead care after salvation or care after any of the things of God? Then why should they fear hell? They don't. There are two other kinds of folks mentioned by Peter in his first epistle. They are the righteous and the sinner. Now we call to the sinners to repent of their wickedness and falseness and return to God. Simple. The sinners are those who have tasted the heavenly gift at one time. Some, however, in Hebrews 6:6, renounced Jesus Christ and returned to their synagogues. They walked away from the truth. These obviously will never be returned to Christ in a spirit of repentance, even if they desire it. The scripture is crystal clear on it. Renouncing Christ is beyond a point of any return. But back to the sinners. Repentance, as we know, is a gift not repented of by God. There is a vast difference between renouncing Jesus Christ and the so-called plain transgression of his law. The transgressors here are given ample means to repent and come clean as God wills. We don't believe the fear of hell will convict one of their sins or backslidings, do we? Do we really? I believe the realization of our wretchedness, as Paul stated in Romans, for instance, is key to repentance. Not the realization of hell. As I read scripture, it isn't fear of suffering in eternity that leads to repentance. It is a fear of God himself and a breaking down of ourselves under conviction that we have offended God and are not worth the clay we're made from. There's a big difference here. Do the transgressors fear hell and decide to repent because it's better to repent than to go to hell? Nope. And it better not be. The third kind of folks mentioned by Peter are the righteous. Simply enough, the righteous live by faith, strive to purge themselves of their fleshly penchants to transgress God's law, and live a crucified life with Christ. Do these fear hell as a consequence of disobedience? Shortly after we were chastised by our Father for messing up, as his word says he will chastise those he loves. Shortly after this chastisement, what was brought to our attention? The displeasure of our Father or the fear of hell? I say the former. The bottom line question here in case we haven't come to it yet, is glaringly simple. Just why is it we follow Christ to God? I'll give us a hint. It had better not be for something we fear losing. We shouldn't be afraid of the dark. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Does Deuteronomy take up the theme in verse 6 by saying, and fear hell? No. We're back to the old question. What's love got to do with it? A whole lot more than we think. Love is selfless, for starters. Real godly love does not give us room to be concerned about ourselves or our petty fears. We're judged by our intents and desires, Hebrews 4:12, aren't we? Tell me that if anyone covets the fellowship of God and the abiding of God and His Son in us, they will decay into a fear of hell? Excuse me, not possible. We will be judged by our intents. God will ask just why we sought Him out. God will ask, did you really desire to love me, serve me, be blessed by me? Or did you come to me because you feared hell? That's a cheap way into heaven, folks. That's a robber's way. We'll never make it there with that kind of selfish motivation. Now, let's go to the scriptures and let them tell us by the Holy Spirit just who or what we are to fear as God's elect. Jesus Christ forewarns us as to whom, not what, we are to fear. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. Where's hell in this? At the end. Fear Him, not hell. Also in Luke 12:5, a corresponding scripture, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him. Now, how about a counter to this selfish fear? How about an admonition to those who trust their God who has called them? How about Luke 12:7? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. Therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh my, there's a reason to fear hell, isn't it? What kind of incentives is God giving us here? Positive incentives. Because if you're following Jesus Christ to God by the Spirit of God, infilled with God's mercy, love, grace, His power, your gift of faith, how can we fear hell? How can we make that a reason for following Jesus Christ? How about Revelation 1:17? And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying to me, what? Fear not, for I am the first and last. Fear God. Do these scriptures testify that we should fear hell as an incentive to follow Christ? Absolutely not. Those who have this fear of the dark are in error and are fooling only themselves and others they drop this load of dung upon. As far as it goes, folks, the entire professing church in the world is convinced they're going to heaven, as far as I can tell. Think about it. Many seek deep to hide their counsel or intents from God. Isaiah 29:15. So what in the name of salvation is going on in the body? The fear of hell is not the beginning of wisdom and understanding. The fear of hell is not the fear of the Lord. Is there any iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Job 6:30. Discern it, folks. This leads to the questioning of the actual legitimacy of one's profession of faith. The fear of hell is fear. And perfect love casteth out fear, 1 John 4:18, last I checked. This is how we live on, beyond our calling, through our regeneration, the renewing of our minds, our subsequent service of God and the saints. This is love. Love. Agape. Abiding. From God. God's love perfected in us, not our carnal love. Fearing God is not the kind of fear that disrupts the flow of His Spirit or causes us to be out of sync and lacking peace within us. Let's not mix up the things that cause conviction with the things we summon up from our bellies either. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this self-same thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, get these words, folks. What indignation. What indignation? Yeah, toward sin. Toward your former life. Yea, what fear. Fear of God. Yea, what vehement desire. Oh, amen, for the things of God, correct? What zeal. What revenge. Oh, wait. Revenge? That's love? Now, what Paul is saying here is we get revenge on that creature who has striven to guide us into the ditch. Our revenge is in Jesus Christ. Our revenge is in the finished work of the cross. Our victory has already been won. What revenge? I continue in 2 Corinthians 7. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. Have we approved ourselves to be clear in this matter? Where is the mention of hell in this scripture? Death here is spiritual death. Hell follows at the end if we remain dead, or we're disqualified, reprobate, or we've been deluded because we've willfully turned away from the truth. God's sovereignty is not malleable, folks. He has mercy upon whom He shall have mercy. And to those that He has shown mercy to, why do we fear everything but our God? God is worth fearing. It is obvious that many will ultimately reach this hot destination. Yeah. Tell me why it is that some of us called out ones have returned to God after we've strayed off and sinned. Isn't it because we've offended our Father? Isn't it because we have broken His heart? We've refused His love toward us? Isn't it because we have received His godly sorrow and not the sorrow or fear of the world? Or is it because we cheap tricksters have realized we'd have nothing to gain but hell, and we'd better clean up our phylacteries and get right with God, instead of truly wanting to bask in God's peace and loving light for His sake? We're doing it all for our sake. You know, get that anointing. Get that Jesus. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Get that Holy Ghost. You got to have the anointing. You got to babble in tongues or you ain't saved. I ask you again, who made whom and for whose sake? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. God did not give us this truth to tell us that the elect should use the fleshly anti-spirit fear of hell to conform ourselves to the image of His Son, did He? We are conformed by God's Spirit and good pleasure. It seems that Christ is become of no effect unto you. Galatians 5:4. And worse yet, many have capitulated to a law in their flesh without even knowing it. What is lacking in us here is the truth, the desire for it. Why don't we have the spirit that Peter had in saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, John 6:68. Now tell us why. Because we still don't trust God. We're still full of excuses and winds of false doctrine and the lies of the devil. And we're doing it our way and helping God along with our salvation. Big mistake. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Isaiah 43:2. Does this people show forth God's praises, fearing hell? Do we come into the presence of God by His grace and mercy because we fear hell? I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Isaiah 43:25. Does this people, whose transgressions have been blotted out, do they not rejoice in the presence of their forgetful God? Forgetting hell or fearing hell? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15. Does this people live in bondage to fear of hell? If the fallen angels feared hell, they wouldn't have rebelled, would they? We have the old cart before the horse again, it seems. If we further read Scripture carefully, we will see that destruction came upon the wicked, the unrepentant transgressors, the sinners in the camp, and the ungodly. The righteous never had this concern, nor did they have a fear of hell. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. We struggle and we war against our flesh and its temptations to sin. We don't struggle against the calling out by God to the promise of life with Him in eternity. God has given us a sound mind. Do we know what this means? We are spiritual beings locked in a body of death. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Romans 7:24. Did Paul get raptured away after his eyes were opened? Did Paul do his ministry in fear of hell? His fight was against his flesh, which he unmistakably hated and yearned to be free from. Paul alludes to the fact that he feared missing the mark, even possibly losing his own reward. Paul cared for God's saints more than himself. Paul feared God, though. He didn't fear hell. He feared losing God's fellowship as any, forgive me, self-respect and elect should. Where's the fear of hell in Psalms 60? Verse 1. O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again, not don't send us to hell. God is the Father. We are the prodigal at times, you know. He's there to restore us. No, we just don't see it that way, do we? Nah. Stiff-necked and stubborn. Do we fear hellfire for the flames' sake? Do we fear blackest darkness because it's cold there? Or because we're forever and totally separated from God? We have to set ourselves to task here. And accordingly, we must take our God to task and start believing Him. If we're consumed with God's pleasure and will, how can we ever open a way for the enemy to tempt us to fear His ultimate reward? The enemy's ultimate reward, that is. In which I might add, He knows perfectly well He will reside. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. As when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Let me tell you something. The ungodly do not fear hell. The sinners, for the most part, do not fear hell. The deluded by God do not fear hell. The righteous certainly do not fear hell. Why then is staying out of hell the misguided incentive for receiving salvation? Why? Those on the path to destruction do not fear hell. Neither do most sinners who have fallen away from the truth. I might go so far as to say neither do any sinners who have fallen away from the truth. It's obvious. The only time the fear of hell will befall these, or any that are sent in that direction, is at the moment they're set before Jesus Christ at the first judgment, or at the great white throne before God. Their fear will begin when they realize that there is no hope. God does not call his elect by threatening them with hell. Although hell is an inevitability, although hell is a real place, we shouldn't be thinking along the lines of hell as our reward if we're truly called of God through Christ. Indeed, the theme of the warning is repent or perish. However, the gifts of God at our conversions include faith, love, not fear of destruction, fear of God. We have a fear of God, who is destroyer and savior. How can the elect fear the destruction and not the bringer of it? Back to Matthew 10:28. Is there any shadow of the fear of hell as an incentive to following Christ in us upon our calling out? Man, there better not be. Isn't this obvious fear of hell a lack of faith? Faith, trust in our God. Our desires to serve God determine our outcomes, our desires. And does not even God place desires into our hearts? And still we fear what we have not been instructed to fear? Who indwells us? Tell me, a God of fear? If this is perfect love, as Scripture testifies to, our fears of hell are unfounded, and a major evaluation of our standing before God is in order. And for some of us, it's long overdue. This is going to have bearing on how you stand when the fire comes down, and it's right around the corner. Best we examine ourselves that we be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5. We deserve hell, yeah, but we have not been elected for hell. Our hearts are turned toward our Father. Our incentive is glory with our God, peace, life, etc. To the true elect, loss is gain. We don't lose what we willingly give up for Christ. We'll lose our lives, but who cares? We are not under bondage to fear of any kind, are we? Jesus does not tell us to fear hell. We will not stoop and dine with the swine that Satan has sent among us to deceive us, will we? Anyone who calls themselves a believer and exhibits a fear of hell is tipping his or her hand as to the nature of the spirit in him. The surety of our faith is certified by a sovereign God who has mercy upon whom he shall have mercy, and he has had mercy upon us. Praise his name. We are not afraid of the dark, saints. We are in the light, and we have work to do. This is the road to life, saints. Surrender. Trust in and fear of God, rejoicing in our calling, rejoicing in our sufferings for this little while. This is the narrow way.